Amen. Thank you so very much, choir. Aren't you thankful this morning for Jesus, the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God who, as John the Baptist said, has come to take away the sins of the world. We are in James chapter 1 this morning. I'll give you an opportunity to turn there. We're actually going to finish out James chapter 1 this morning, looking at the most verses I think we've looked at in our time here in James chapter 1. I'm going to kind of recap what we've talked about this morning through James chapter 1. Just a reminder for you, James is the brother of Jesus, right? He's a skeptic turned believer. James is, at this time, he's a leader in the church of Jerusalem. He's got to the point in his life where he realizes that Jesus is not only a Savior, but he's Lord. Right? He's Lord over me, I'm servant over him. James has talked about that. He's also talked about trials that are going to come the way of the believer. Trials, as I've mentioned on numerous occasions, that come to increase our faith, perfect our faith, and achieve for us an eternal glory. Last week we talked about the temptations which come in our path. God does not tempt us, but God may allow us to be tempted so that we may be strengthened and used for his glory and used to make much of him. This morning we're going to transition into verse 19 to verse 27, and essentially what we're going to look at today is knowing and doing. Knowing and doing. You can write those down, knowing and doing. Before we get into our text this morning, though, I want to just kind of poll the audience here. How many of us played high school or were part of the band or were in the choir in high school? Raise your hand if that was you. Okay. How many of us are doing that now? Okay, some of us are doing it now. I see some. Awesome. So we've got a good many of us this morning who participated in a high school sport, who participated in the choir, who participated in band. Now, if you were like me, my athletic prowess topped out at church league basketball. I'm just being truthful with you. But one of the things I hated, which I never got with church league basketball, was practice. I can get with high school sports. You know, church league basketball, you just show up for the games and you hope that no one gets hurt and you just play for fun. But for those of us that participated in a sport in high school or participated in the band or participated in choir, a lot of your life in high school consisted of practice. Maybe you didn't like practice, but practice was where your craft was developed. Some of us can remember the 2-a-days and the heat of summer. We can remember shooting the basketball until our arms went numb. We can remember defensive drills and hitting off a tee so much in baseball that it felt like the bat was crafted to our arms by the end of it all. We can remember band camp. We can remember the heat of band camp, sweat of band camp, the smell of band camp. I was not in band, but I've been told those things, okay? But I ask you at the end of the day, why did we do those things? Why did we practice? Why did we take part in band camp? Why did we go to 2-a-days? Well, we did it so that when it came time for our performance or our game or competition, we would be prepared. I doubt very seriously that a lot of us enjoyed the practices or the meetings. Maybe some of us did, but we did it so that when the time came, we'd be prepared for the moment. We did it so that when the game or halftime came, we knew what to do. We knew how to effectively execute. I want you to imagine for just a moment, you never practiced. You never practiced. But instead, all you did was you picked up a book about a sport or about an instrument, and you read the basics. Let me ask you, do you think you would be prepared when the competition came your way? Most of us know. In fact, you would have gotten your team destroyed. You would not have helped the band very well, because knowing all about the sport or knowing all about band or knowing all about choir is not going to help you if you don't discipline yourself to put in the work, which prepares you for competition. Knowing is good if it's coupled with doing. Apart from it, it's not. Let me put it another way. We live in the greatest country on earth. I firmly believe that. though we do have problems, we still live in a country of freedom. And in our country, we have brave men and women who are, and who will serve to protect our freedoms here in this country that we live within. Now, I cannot begin to say that I know what it took or what it takes today for you to be prepared to serve our country. But I imagine it took a lot of work. It took a lot of training. It took a lot of pep talks. Maybe that's what we call them now. To make you the soldier that you were, the soldier that you are. But do you think you would have been prepared for battle by just showing up without proper training? No. You wouldn't have developed the particular set of skills that you learned from your training beforehand. Now, I share these things with you for a reason this morning. Because that's essentially what the heart of what James is talking about in verse 19 to verse 27 of James chapter 1. He talks about knowing and doing specifically when it comes to the Word of God. Let's dig into this text today and see what James has to say for us. James says, beginning in verse 19, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." James starts from the get-go in this knowing and doing in this section with what he wants us to know. He says this, he says, "My dear brothers, take note of this," or "my dear brothers, note this." The ESV says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers." Beloved, what does that mean? Well, beloved means you're cherished. Beloved means you're loved. Beloved means you're valued. James starts out by telling us that we are cherished, we are loved, we are valued by God. He tells us who we are. We're loved. Now, it's important to know that. It's important to remember that, especially considering what we're going to talk about this morning. It's important to remember that we are, if we're in Christ Jesus, and we're loved by the Father so much that He sent His Son into the world, that we're loved, that we are cherished by God. It's important to remember, hear me this morning, as we've talked about on Wednesday nights, that we cannot do anything to make God love us more or anything to make God love us less. We are loved. Why is it important that we remember that we're loved, that we're beloved, that we're cherished, that we're valued? It's important to know that because when we know that, we'll work from the love of God rather than trying to work for the love of God. Our faith is different than other religions, right? We don't, and let me say, we cannot work to earn our salvation. We cannot work to earn God's favor. The Bible tells us that our best is credited to Him as filthiness or filthy rags. Christ has accomplished all that we could not. Christ has accomplished all that we could not. So we are not to serve out of the bondage of slavery of obligation. But we're to serve out of a love for God. That we are redeemed and we're restored and we're reconciled and we're set apart. And God doesn't see us for who we were, but for who we are and for who we're becoming. Let's move along. James says, because you're cherished and loved, know this. Let's look what he says. He says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We're going to stop there. Here James really talks about three types of personalities. One is the bad listener. Did you hear me? The bad listener, okay? I am sometimes guilty of this with my wife. I will admit that as she's smiling at me and nodding her head this morning, right? I am sometimes guilty of this. And it's not that I don't love my wife and that I'm not trying to listen to my wife. It's just sometimes the wheels in my brain are just spinning and I'm thinking about 10 other things that have got to be done. But what does James say here? He says, we need to be quick to listen. So one person that James mentions is the bad listener. You need to be quick to listen. Another that he mentions is the chatterbox. He says, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. He talks about a person known as the chatterbox, the one who always talks to fill the silence, the one who thinks their voice and their opinion needs to be heard because if it's not heard, it's not the right one. We don't know anybody like that, do we? No. James says, be slow to what? Speak. It's been said, I heard this week, that the rabbis used to say, God gave us two ears and one mouth because we're supposed to listen twice as much as we speak. So another person we've got here is the chatterbox. And then we get to the one with the anger problems. James says, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. The person with anger, the one who can be set off just like that. And a lot of the times, this type of person, and I've been that person, I don't know if it's because I'm small in stature and sometimes short people have short fuses. I used to try to justify my anger, right? I would say, well, Jesus got angry with righteous anger. Yes, he did. But what does James say here about our anger? He says this. He says, the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So know this. Know that you look at verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James says, get rid of all moral filth, get rid of evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word which is called to be planted in you, which alone can help to save you as the word of God is speaking through you and pointing you to Jesus. When Blakely and Beckett were in daycare in Gadsden, each year around Mother's Day, they would bring home a potted plant. Okay, if I'm honest with you, it was a flower in a plastic cup, all right? They would bring that home for Mom. I'm not going to even get into Father's Day. I don't know why I didn't get anything. That's a whole other story. I tried to talk to the daycare worker about that, but that's another story for another day. And when we get that flower home, I would put the little flower in the windowsill in our kitchen, and I would water it each morning. And over time, what would happen is that the flower would grow. And it would grow to the point that it would have to be taken out of the cup and planted so that it could fully prosper. James equates that here with the Word of God. He says, accept the Word which is called to be implanted in you. You see, God is the ultimate gardener. And what he wants to do is he wants to plant his word in our heart and in our life and in our soul so that we produce life and we produce fruit. Our fruit buds. Now, obviously, James is writing to believers here, so they're already saved. But as I've said to you on a number of occasions, salvation, for us to remember, this is something we need to constantly know, is not merely a one and done. What do I mean by that? Well, salvation is not merely a prayer to Jesus and that's it. Salvation is we're saved and I've got my get out of hell for free card referring to Monopoly and that's it. No. Salvation is we're daily being set apart for Jesus. We're daily being shaped and we're daily being molded into the image of God as we submit to God. We're being sanctified, which means we're set apart until we reach perfection. God wants this word of God to constantly be planted in our hearts, in our lives. Believer, this morning, he wants you to know this. It's not just a prayer and you're done. No, it's the Lord working in your life, leading you to himself, saving you, and calling you to live according to the word of God. Psalm chapter 1, I think I've got this on the screen, verse 1 through 3 says this, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3 says this, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. We are called to devote our lives to knowing the word of God. But let me tell you, knowing's not it. Knowing's not it. Now, remember, you cannot work to make God love you more or God love you less. So maybe you're thinking now, okay, I've got to get into self-righteous mode. I've got to do all these things. No, it's not just knowing, it's doing. But it's not doing because you have to. It's doing because you get to, because you want to, because your life has been changed. Just as we're called to know the Word of God because it makes us like Him, we are to live out the Word of God. We're to know, as we've looked at in the first few verses, and we're to do. Look at verse 22 to verse 25. James says, "But be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres or preserves, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." We are called to do. What do I mean by that? Well, we're called to live out the Word of God with our lives. The Word of God is not to be merely informational. It's called to be transformational. We're not called to simply be a data processing center with no life change in our life. We're called to live out the Word of God. If all we do is know, if all we do is listen, if all we do is read books by the best author ever, if all we do is attend conferences, yet we don't live out our faith, James says, you deceive yourself. You think you know it all. You follow religion. If all we do is read a sport, a book about a sport, but never play the sport, we're not going to get any better. Husbands, we've just got through with this weekend that we all love, right? Valentine's weekend. It is good, husbands, that we know the things that our wife loves. It's good that we know her favorite color. It's good that we know her favorite restaurant. It's good that we know her favorite sports team or her favorite book or favorite author. Yet it's bad if we know all those things and we don't do something with that information to let her know she's our pride and joy. Exhibit A, I'm guilty of that. James equates that here with the Word of God. He was no doubt frustrated with people who knew the Word but weren't acting on the Word. With people who were change, but who were keeping that change to themselves. And that's why he transitions from knowing to doing. He looks at him and he says, you know a lot. Start doing. Jesus himself put it this way in Luke chapter 11, verse 28. I think I've got this on the screen. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, he says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. The ESV says, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And if you obey the word of God, if you know the word of God, and if you live out the word of God, you're not like the guy in verse 23 and verse 24. But if you don't, you're like this guy who looks intently at his face in a mirror, but he goes away and he forgets what he looks like. Now, some of us, when we wake up and we look in the mirror the first thing every morning, we don't like what we see, which we shouldn't. We should know we're fearfully, wonderfully created by our Maker. But we don't like what we see, right? Our hair is bad. Our hair is gone. There are more wrinkles than we remembered. There are things that we don't like about ourselves. And we wish sometimes, especially when we were younger, maybe our teenage years, that we could walk away and forget what we look like. Or we could change our appearance. But we can't. As much as we try, we cannot forget what we look like, because for most of us, what's going to happen? We're going to return to that mirror time and time and time again throughout the day. We're going to brush our teeth. We're going to floss our teeth. We're going to put our makeup on, women. We're going to comb our hair. We're going to put deodorant on. We're going to get in front of that mirror. We're going to blow dry our hair. It's impossible for us to forget what we look like. Yet James says somehow we do this with the Word of God. It's a tough teaching today. Envision the Bible being the mirror. And in this mirror, you see yourself in God's eyes. You see your sin. You see the life of Jesus and how you need to be more like Him. You see where you need to grow, where you need to repent. You see how you're called to love, just to name a few things. Now imagine knowing all of that, but not coming away changed from that encounter. So often we do that. How does that change? Look at verse 25. James says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." James says, look into this mirror, know it. Look into this mirror and do what it says. Repent, forgive, love, reach out to the lost, share the gospel of Jesus. And if you do, if you don't forget what you've heard and you know, but you practice it, you're going to be blessed in what you do. You're going to live out a life of true religion. That's what verse 26 and verse 27 are really pointing to. We won't really get into these verses much today. We're going to look at it further on in James's letter. But James says, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that's pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. If you know this, if you follow this, if you look into this intently as the mirror, and you live out the call of Christ and the call of our Lord God, you're going to live out a life of true religion. Your tongue's going to be directed by the Lord. You're going to care for people who the world views as hopeless and helpless. And you're going to give hope to them. You'll have the hope of Christ. You'll be the light of Christ for others to see. That's the indication here, especially for the widows. We know that widows in the time period of James were viewed as hopeless and helpless, and they were taken advantage of. Church, as we get ready to close this morning, there's a real danger today in each day that we live. There is a danger to know all about this. And look, I'm not naive. I've been saved. The Lord saved me 15 years ago. I realize that there are people in this sanctuary this morning who are more mature, who've read the Bible more times through than I have, okay? There are people who probably know the Word of God better than me this morning. But let me tell you something. There is a danger to know all about the Word of God, to read every book in the world, to be the smartest Christian ever to live, but to not live out the faith that Jesus has given to you. To keep your information and your supposed transformation to yourself. We are to know, and because we know, we're to do. Full blessing is in knowing the Word of God and living out the Word of God. Just as the greatest athletes know their sport and prepare for their sport, which allows them to excel when it comes time for the game, we as believers in Christ are to hear the Word, know the Word, share the Word, live out the Word. When we know and do with what we know, we are blessed. Now, James could talk about this because he saw his brother live this out. Jesus Christ came as the Word, but he lived out the will of the Father. He submitted to the will of the Father. Not only did Jesus come, not only did he know, but Jesus did. He did the will of the Father. And so I want to ask you this morning, as we get ready to close, where are you at this morning? How has this message hit you this morning? Are you an encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to the Bible? Yet when it comes down to it, you may have all the information, but there's really no visible transformation. Are you here this morning maybe and you'd say, look, I've been saved for 30, 40, 50, 10, you know, 5 years, whatever, but there's really been no progress in your faith. No, God's not going to love you less. I'm not saying that to you this morning, but I'm saying to you, look, he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus for you so that you wouldn't stay where you're at, but that you'd progress on this journey of faith that he's called you to be a part of, this greatest journey of faith, as you run and you race toward Jesus and you seek to live the life of Jesus here on this earth for people to see. I don't know where you're at this morning. God does. Maybe you're guilty with the knowing, or maybe you're doing, but you're not spending any time in the Word of God. Man, when we practice in our sports and we put in all the work and effort and we do the 2-a-days and we sweat and we're tired and we're exhausted, we may think it doesn't do any good, but when it comes time for the game, we're ready. We got to be ready, church. We live in a day of evil. We've got to know the Word. We've got to dedicate our lives to the Word of God, to pray, to seek the Lord God. We've got to look into this mirror intently daily. We've got to live it out. People need to see the light of Jesus today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today, God, for our time. We know this is a tough teaching. It maybe hit some of us the wrong way this morning, or just punched us in the gut and brought us to our knees. And God, we're having a tough time with this morning. Maybe we know all about the Word of God and we can tell you what the Bible says and doesn't say. But God, when people look at our lives, they would struggle to see if we're a reflection of the Word of God by the way that we live, by the way that we walk, by the way that we talk, by the way that we act. Maybe we're on the other side. We're all about doing. We try to do these acts of service and we think that God's going to love us more because we do these things. God's not going to love you anymore. He's not going to love you less, and you can't work to earn God's love. You need to look to the Word of God and to seek God through Scripture to see how loved and cherished and valued you are, so that then you may be able to effectively operate out of the love and grace and mercy that's been given to you. God, maybe there's somebody here this morning that just needs to come and repent and say, look, I've been living a life of knowing, and I believe, there's no doubt in my life, I'm saved. I know Jesus, but Lord, I'm asking for forgiveness this morning, and I'm coming and throwing myself before you because you're supposed to be the Lord of my life, which means you're the master, you're the owner, you're the leader of my life, and I need to submit to you. Maybe today you need to step out in faith and say, I thought I knew, but I don't. I have doubts every night, and I've had doubts throughout years, and I really struggle, and maybe there's questions we can talk about and pray about, but maybe you know you're lost, and you just need to come this morning. Maybe you want to come and join this body as God's working in your life and doing great things here. However God's working, may we respond effectively this morning. God, I pray that you would help us to be hearers and doers of the Word of God, that we would know the Word of God, we would know our playbook, we would study it, we would practice it, we would live it out for others to see. And we do that, people are going to come to know Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to stand this morning for our song.